Hey everybody, welcome to episode 71 of Breaking In. I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
So, once again, we don't really have much to talk about. Oh, well, no. Let's start out with your intervention. We promised we would do this. How many pages did you write?
Okay, actually, I did not. However, what I did was...
You did make progress.
Yeah. We talked about that I was trying to compare the two scripts and what do we want to leave in and blah, blah, blah. So, I ended up printing it out. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be, going through it, to go chunk, yes,
right.
And leave everything else out. So, lost a lot of pages. Basically, is what's going to happen is...
Right. Yeah. Because you're rewriting and changing it anyway. Right. So.
So, that was good, but I did find some stuff that we had already come up with that I like, that I want to get back in there. So, I may have to go back... to rewrite some other stuff to make that happen. So.
Right. I will join in the intervention game. My writing experience this week was I had the first five pages done of a new script, and it wasn't really flowing very well. It just wasn't coming out right. And lo and behold, one late night at like 2 a.m. outside on the patio, staring at the skyline, it hit me the way it should be written. And I basically went back and scrapped those 5 pages and started over. And now I'm only 3 pages into it, but they're 3 pages going in the right direction.
Right. A more comfortable writing direction.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and the sort of brief story behind that is, the reason why I wasn't connecting was the opening sequence to this scene I've talked about with a friend, and I'm kind of writing it for her, per se. Sort of. I mean, I'm just as much invested, but it's her idea.
Right.
And she kind of gave me this idea of how the opening should be, and I'm like, oh yeah, totally, I see that. And then when I started writing it, it just wasn't flowing. And when I came up with the new idea, it flowed better. It had the same message that she wanted to convey, but it was done in my tone. It was done
with
my voice.
It'll be interesting to see the note on that.
Right.
Because it sounded like her describing the opening was something that she had already had solidly in her head.
Right.
Which threw you off because it was not your idea, the first idea that you had, which is an interesting thing about some other people giving you, can you write this? Here's what we want, and
I
you
could,
go write
I,
that.
The opening that she had in mind was a montage.
Right.
And as I'm saying this now, I realize that I could actually put the montage in and still keep what I wrote. I think it would
That's probably a good idea.
I think it would be overkill.
Okay.
I think the way that I presented the idea is
better.
Is not better.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because when she reads it,
right,
she's going to go by this, that, the other.
Yeah.
So.
And frankly, I don't think it's worth getting too hung up on the first five
pages. Early on, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get it out. It's the hardest thing to do is to write the vomit draft.
Where, yes.
Yeah. So I'm working on that, and you know, I'm glad that I didn't get 15 pages in before I realized that, oh, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm much happier with what my moving into the story is essentially what this is.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I feel a lot better about it, and it's a lot easier to write. On that note, we don't, you know, one of the things that I... Okay, so my new obsession that I found this past couple of weeks while writing is I started watching Sons of Anarchy, which, by the way... I've started also.
Yeah, and I started on my own.
Well, we started together. Well, I started on my own, And then I was like, no, I can't watch this because I'm not going to be able to watch it again because I thought it was totally boring. So then we started it on our own. You got like 5 episodes in. I fell asleep around episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
You did not pick up the... You did not keep going.
No, I gave up at that point. I and I'm very generous to give... To give a series.
Yeah, yeah. You do the 3 to 5, yeah. Right. I think I might have tried to watch the pilot again, and it was like, it just wasn't... There's 4 attempts at trying to watch this show.
Right.
And then there's a couple of different reasons, and this is kind of one of the things that I want to talk about, but is being sort of in the right place at the right time, in the right mindset.
Well, it was your roommates that were watching it, and didn't you catch a later show or something? No.
It was... This is exactly what happened. We're past Thanksgiving. There's no TV on. I was watching like the Rocky series because I was just trying to find something to watch while I put on the TV because there was nothing to watch.
You were pretty excited about that, as I remember the texts that were coming from that.
Yeah, of course. But I don't have cable. I Hulu, Netflix rules my life. Right. So, I kind of have to abide by whatever is available through that. And I didn't want to watch a movie. And I'm like, so I was on Netflix trying to go through the, you know, I felt like I needed to watch something episodic. And I'm going through.
So you can go for a while. Yeah, you're right. And when you're trying to put something on in the background or whatever.
Right.
You just want to.
And I'm like, okay,
well, keep thinking about what to watch.
One option was to rewatch a series that I've already watched before.
I don't like doing that.
No. I mean, How I Met Your Mother is the only one that I've ever been able to, because that show's funny every time I watch it.
Right.
Yes, I just needed something out in the background. I'm floating through Netflix. I'm like, seen that, don't feel like that. Should I try to do the Sons of Anarchy thing again? And I've seen the pilot so many times that I'm like...
You skipped over it,
let me just fast forward through the pilot and make sure I remember...
Who's who?
What the setup is.
You probably could have just skipped to 2 or 3and...
Yeah, probably. But I think I watched like the last 15 minutes of the pilot just to get an idea of what the storyline was moving into. And whatever it was, it was the right time, the right moment where I just got obsessed into it. And I literally, right before we sat down and recorded, I just finished the last episode of season 5. Season 6 is on right now. The season finale is on tonight. So I'm going to catch up. Yeah. What's fascinating, and the first few attempts that I made at watching it, I didn't realize, it wasn't until I heard, actually, funny enough, Kevin Smith interviewed Kurt Sutter and Katie Sagal on one of his podcasts with his wife, Jennifer Schwabach, who was a Sons of Anarchy freak. And so the four of them sat down and they talked about the show. And that's kind of when I learned that Sons of Anarchy was sort of built around the whole Hamlet mythos, that Hamlet served as...
Which is interesting.
It was Hamlet in the biker world. And I'm like, Hamlet is... We're going to get into probably a larger discussion about Shakespeare, unless you want to just have it right now. Hamlet's the only one that I can sort of... I adore Hamlet. I love Hamlet.
Right.
Shakespeare as a whole, I'm not a fan.
I agree.
Hamlet's one of those characters that I've always been fascinated by the story, the lies, the deceit.
Right.
I've seen almost every iteration of Hamlet on screen, with the exception of the Ethan Hawke one, for obvious reasons. I've stated it on the show 1,000 times. Of course, Kenneth Branagh's 4-hour word-for-word literal like representation of the play is the best Hamlet that's ever been done on screen. I dig it. And I also dig... I don't necessarily like Shakespeare, but I like seeing...
I feel bad that he had to write in that way, because the stories are great.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Shakespeare's prose.
Right. That it's so hard to
understand.
But obviously that's how you had to do that then.
Well, and the you're right, the core of the story is really what's interesting.
Yes. Absolutely.
You know, I always find taking Shakespeare and turning it into odd things, obviously like Hamlet in a biker group.
Which is a discussion we were having about updating old.
Well, yeah. Yes. And another one of my favorites is Akira Kurosawa's Throne of Blood, which is Macbeth in a samurai setting. It's fantastic.
Right.
Anyway, the idea of, not a big fan of Shakespeare, love Hamlet, tried to give it another go just because I'm like, oh, this is Hamlet. Couldn't do it. So anyway, Wright State, I don't know what that phenomena is where you kind of just, you've tried something and it just hasn't worked. For you, Boardwalk Empire was, you got it right off the bat. Both of us tried Game of Thrones like 3 times and finally, oddly, it clicked for me.
Yeah, still not for you.
Obviously, Sons of Anarchy right now. Breaking Bad, I found, told you, you had to watch it. And
thank
as soon
God,
as
we
you
were
did,
already 5 seasons in, so
right,
it was just like rep.
Right, as soon as you did,
ahead.
you were hooked immediately.
Yeah.
So yes, there's a lot of different ways that I want to take this conversation. So my first question is, what do you think it is about that phenomena of trying something, or you know, you watched it and it didn't really resonate, and then
I consider it the same thing as you feel like chicken or steak tonight. You know what I mean? It's
yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
But it's a weird mood thing, like. You know, sometimes it's all it takes is a high level of like 3 or 4 people saying that, oh my God, you haven't seen.
You should.
That's exactly how I started watching 6 Feet Under, because like 3 or 4 people that I really
respected.
I totally
found that accidentally. I thought it was a scary movie. it was accidental. I was like, oh, I love this show.
I mean, I've had so many people tell me that I need to see The Wire, and I watched the first season.
Yeah, that was too disturbing.
And then I watched the second season, and it was horrible, and I stopped. And then every conversation that I've had since then is, oh my God, have you seen The Wire? And I say, first season, second season, boring, stop. Oh, no, you got to get to the third season.
That is a little bit more than I can give you. You don't just get to be a show. Well, other people apparently like it, so I think it's just not my cup of tea.
The only good thing about The Wire, from my understanding, is that every season is a different case. So it's all the same characters, so you need to know who the characters are.
Mm-hmm.
But one season doesn't necessarily affect another season. Like, you don't need to know what happened in the second season in order to understand
what's going on in the third.
The
next one. Yeah.
You just have to understand these are the players.
Main people.
Right. But yeah, that second season's fucking horrible. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it literally is the fact that, number one, you came across it when you felt like chicken. That's what happened. It was purely, this is just what I feel like today.
Right.
So you found that. But I think more interesting is the whole that Hamlet is actually what Sons of Anarchy is about. And us having that discussion about, well, they could only go so far with the Hamlet because it only lasted so long. So
yeah,
they had to actually, what would happen if...
Which makes me wonder how the show is going to end. Because if you're truly going to stay to...
So now is it over, or just season finale?
No.
They got another season.
Yeah, they're coming back.
Cool.
So season 6 is ending tonight, and I think they're coming back
for
season 7.
You know, that makes me feel bad again, because how long, if you last that long,
it's got to be
you
good.
You have, yeah. Yeah.
And it is, and I'll tell you, there's, out of all of the seasons
Maybe
so
that's
far,
how I should pick my shows. if you can last over 5 seasons, you must be okay, so I'll watch you now.
Maybe. There was only one storyline where it got a little bit tiresome. And they did well enough to only make it last like 4 episodes out of the season. It wasn't like an entire 13 episode.
I'm going to disagree because literally when you were watching it, I came in to prep for the podcast and we're watching the end of it.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, well, of course, somebody's made good plans, so there should be something right about now to fuck that up.
Yeah.
So that happens every show.
Well, yeah, but that's...
I'm going to make good plans, and instead of being able to be good, I'm going to have to be bad because this happens. Yeah,
but that has nothing to do with storyline.
I'm just saying it's...
It's not... Well, yeah, but it's repetitious.
Do they always have to be doing something good? And then so you see it grasped out of their...
You're talking about 5 seasons of no context in which you're basing 5 minutes on.
Only based on what you said. I'm only basing it on what you said.
I understand.
You predicted what was going to happen.
Yes, because that's Shakespeare. What conversation do you want to go into now? Because I want to finish up the conversation we're having.
Yes.
And then we'll get into the Shakespeare part. What was I saying? Oh, there was only one storyline that I thought got a little tiresome.
Right.
But they did well enough to just keep it short. Other than that, all 5 seasons so far have been fairly compelling. And what's interesting is every show picks up where the last show left off. So there is no span of space. It's literally one day after another.
Right, so it's not like
so
season, last year.
So season 2 picks up right where season 1 left off, and it's literally...
The next day.
Not even the next day. Like
same day.
5 minutes later.
Right.
Which obviously keeps the show going. The only large span of time was, spoiler alert, at the end of one season, they all get hauled off and go to jail. And they have to serve 14 months. So when the next season picks up, it's the day they're getting out. So they skip the jail part.
Skip ahead.
Right.
Yeah.
But other than that, from season 1 to what you just saw, minus the 14 months, is probably only like a 3-month span of time. Or maybe a year at this point. I don't know. Anyway.
Interesting.
The Shakespearean thing is interesting because you're going back to what you're saying about they can only go so far. So the basic concept is, you know, Hamlet's father dies mysteriously. Hamlet's mom marries the uncle, in this case, the best friend. And Hamlet comes back and has to deal with that bullshit and discovers the plot. Because his father's ghost visits him, and
which chaos. I'm assuming they don't do in Sons of Anarchy.
Actually, they do a really good job. In the first episode of the first season, he finds an old manuscript that his father wrote.
Ah.
And so he's reading, in the first couple of seasons, he's reading, and the father's doing, they're using voiceover.
Father goes to visit him. Yes, get it.
Yeah, which is great because one of the things that the show does really well is they don't hide the fact that it's Hamlet. Like for the most part, it doesn't come up, but every now and then somebody will call him a spoiled prince or...
Which you probably, had you not heard that...
I wouldn't have picked up on it.
The podcast, you would not have...
Yeah,
I knew that that's what they were alluding to.
He refers to Ron Perlman's character, who's quote-unquote the king, refers to Katie Sagal as his queen.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's biker. I mean, it would have been...
Fits.
And then there's one part where they find the manuscript and the queen is telling the king, like, it's like his father is talking to him beyond the grave.
Okay, like, a little too literally.
Right. Well, but see, they don't overkill that. So it's interesting that they can drop those moments and it's like nerd boy, like, that's cool. And leave it at that.
So where this conversation ended up was why not? I mean, obviously Romeo and Juliet have been done like to death.
Yeah.
To
Literally.
Yeah, seriously. So, but how do you, to take something old, you know,
and modernize it?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so this is what's interesting about this show and this iteration of Hamlet. The key components are there. Hamlet, uncle, queen.
Right.
Betrayal, mysterious blah, death. Blah, blah. Yeah. But see, but that's all of the things that make Shakespeare interesting is what is the show? Lies, deceit, betrayal, manipulation, people setting things in motion without, like, one of my biggest complaints about Shakespeare is the fact that if somebody just told the other person what was going on, nothing bad ever would happen.
Oh, right. Like, it's like an I Love Lucy episode. If you had just said in the first place, well, these hijinks wouldn't have ensued.
But it's not even hijinks, because when it's in lies and deceit,
right,
it's like, if I tell you everything's fine and you believe me and that I'm taking care of it because I'm doing this, this, and the other thing, but I leave out the huge component, and you think, and you know something else about what's going on, and you're like, well, he's not taking care of it, so I'm going to go take care of it. And when you go take care of it, it fucks up with what I'm doing.
Right.
Thus, people die.
Everybody not on the same page.
Right. And it's this weird, you know, I mean, that is what Shakespeare is. That's,
yes,
just everybody lies, and then at the tragedies ended in death, and the comedies were like, oh, weren't we so stupid for lying to one another?
I'm not sure how that, I don't, that's hard for me to put in modern terms, because I think people are probably more brutally honest today than they have ever been.
Well, sure, but...
So how do you make a show based on lying to everybody?
Because you create you put it in a biker community. Now... I know.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're talking about like war factions and, yeah, you and know, they, I gangs mean,
they have,
and
they have a council,
yeah,
you know, a president, a vice president, yeah, a sergeant at arms, which, by the way, I just want to make a funny anecdote about biker gangs. It's really funny that they're anti sort of society's rules, yet still have their own form of government.
It's almost more strict than, yeah.
Right. Anyway, I have a very little experience. My little experience is I was dating the daughter. Well, let's face facts. I was banging the daughter of a guy who was in a biker gang in Detroit. And I went to their clubhouse one night for a party, a fundraiser party. And everything that you've ever seen in the movies, like over drinking, there was a titty contest. They had slot machines. It was wild crazy. That is... the only experience besides movies that I've had.
I dated somebody who lived with Hell's Angels.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I was baiting you for saying that,
yes,
you have.
Yes.
We have experience. You have more than me.
I've seen it. Have been carried around on shoulder tops, not on purpose. Just because I'm tiny.
But that idea, the culture of the gangs, and you have to deal with other gangs, and... you know, you have...
No, that is true, because their thoughts about women, they might, you might as well be in, like, Iraq, how they think about women, absolutely.
Publicly. That's what's fascinating with this show, is that the women still have the power over the men.
Well, but, we always do, you just don't always know it.
Right. There's actually... that comment made me think of a couple of lines, and I can't remember them verbatim, but yeah, there's great female characters in the show, and putting it in such a misogynistic world, but still having those strong characters on the outside. I mean, the queen is not an innocent in Hamlet. She's part of the plot.
So I think what it's coming down to is it has to be a setting where that's feasible, where it's believable.
Sure.
Politics as actually being another... venue you could totally put that out in. And,
I mean, yeah, there's a couple of things where you can do, you know, Henry V in... I mean, I guess we were having this conversation the other day. I think that's kind of what House of Cards is to a certain extent.
Mm.
The rise to power and the manipulations and the chess game that you have to play in order to get there.
Yeah, I could see that. So it would have to be where in society? Because it's not like it can be middle America.
You can't do Mopey Hamlet in a high school. And I know it's been tried before.
Adult feels sorry for somebody in high school who says, I don't have any friends.
And
grow up.
There's good ways and there's bad ways to do updates. In the 90s, when they were really hard peak to make teen-driven movies, there was that Josh Hartnett horrible Othello.
Yeah.
And they were on the basketball team, and it was disastrous.
I barely remember that. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, I just remember one scene where he almost got caught doing something, and he's on the balcony, and they made the visual choice to have him do his soliloquies to the camera, which is, of course, what Shakespeare's so well known for.
Right.
And it was just brutal. I can't remember if they stayed in language or not. I think they might have updated the language, but they might have kept the prose.
Yeah.
I think they still spoke in Shakespearean language.
I understand the actors are very comfortable with that.
Leonardo,
rhythm of it.
The Leonardo DiCaprio Romeo and Juliet is very much an updated, you know, they put it in South Central with, you know, John Leguizamo and gang leaders.
Right. I know. Like I said, been done to death, but so I'm saying we should probably find like a obscure script.
If you take the essence of what's in some of Shakespeare.
Right.
And you translate that.
It was good.
And you translate that into an interesting world.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can. I don't think corporate America is very interesting. I think what makes this show interesting is because to a certain extent.
Do you feel like you can relate with those people?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was just like, that was my problem is.
But.
Living in that world for a little bit of time, I was like, fuck this shit. No. I do not want to. This is ridiculous. Grow up.
It's not that I relate to it. It's that I would love to be able to. The idea of. I always get this when I watch Easy Rider too. The idea of where you don't have to live by the rules. Where you can go where you want. Do what you want. And there's like a thing in you that you just don't give a shit what happens to you, and you live life hard and fast.
No showers for 3 days, that's what I think about. I know that's
it's the mentality I find fascinating. Where
yes, I agree, I don't connect with,
and I don't connect with it, but much like watching, I don't connect with. Giant robots beating the shit out of one another, but I still watch Transformers. I mean,
that's technology, though. That's different.
I don't connect with hobbits or wizards and all of that shit. The idea is that it's, I hate to say this because it's not what I mean, but it's glamorous to a certain extent where...
You wish you could do something
I wish
like
I
that.
Could do that.
You know you can't, but you wish you could do something
exactly.
Like that. Yeah,
that's
sure.
What I mean.
Sure.
And what I also find fascinating is the women that are attracted to that mentality. Like, they're all fucking crazy. I mean...
You have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's I mean, they're the epitome of a bad boy. And
God, who is not married in the any? Is there anybody not looking for their daddy figure in that group? Come
I know.
On.
Oh, they all
seriously.
Are. They all are. I do not want to get into gangland violence and shoot up people and have to be strapped 24/7. But I do really want a motorcycle. This show.
They are
and,
pretty fun.
And Easy Rider always makes me want to get a motorcycle one day.
I also like motorcycles.
I've never been on one.
I have.
Well, yeah, I know you have.
400 miles to Vermont.
Really?
Mm-hmm. On the back of the bike. In shorts, no less. What a dumbass.
Yeah. Did your dad have a bike?
No.
No. Okay.
No, actually, the very first motorcycle I got on was friends that I grew up with, Lisa Simonson. I used to go with her and her dad. Her parents were like the first divorced ever in our town. So it was totally cool because you get to go cool, do cool stuff. So her dad took me for a ride on a motorcycle bike and dumped it.
Oh.
Took a corner in sand and we slid with a bike for like 100 feet on my leg.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, you have told me that story.
Yes.
I remember that story.
That was my first. And I got back on.
Anyway, the
good times. Sweaty balls.
Getting back into for the most part, I think all of Shakespeare is pretty much public domain at this point, I think.
Seriously, you could not make something that's going to be so verbatim Shakespeare that somebody would argue with you you've stolen it from Shakespeare.
Right. So, I mean,
worry about that, but like we said, it's core idea. Just the
basis. Taking the essence.
Yeah.
Something to think about. I've already had a couple of ideas for scripts or TV shows that would be based on some low-level Shakespearean.
Seriously, we were just making fun of, swear to God, a month ago, of them rebooting Buffy.
Oh, no, Charmed.
Charmed.
They're rebooting Charmed.
Oh, no. And Mars.
Mars. Veronica Mars?
Veronica Mars.
They're doing the movie. But they're not rebooting
it. I'm just saying, it was just on. Freaking.
Oh, right, yeah.
You can't go a little farther back and get, if you got to steal an idea, can we? Pick another decade of stuff.
Bringing this back to writing and getting into the business, there are constantly people searching for new ideas.
The next
popular
reboot is a shoo-in.
It's not a popular reboot, but people don't like originality too much.
Right.
There has to be some sort of thing that they can grasp onto and you can go into and be, I have a modernization of blah, blah, blah.
That was already fabulous.
And if you don't have the rights to it, you got to scour the public domain realm. I mean, Phantom of the Opera, as many times as it's been done, is it's public domain. The book.
Right.
The actual book. Right. How you decide to interpret that and change it.
And it has, unfortunately, that's
Invisible
already
Man,
been done to death.
Sure, fine. So. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't find a way into it again to do something new. So you can walk into somebody's producer, you can walk into a producer and be like, I have this really cool idea for The Invisible Man done now, or Around the World in 80 Days, but it's not in a balloon going around.
I actually have the first, and I'm sure it's Shakespeare, Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah. Joss Whedon, which, by the way, we have to watch. I got it.
Okay.
With Nathan Fillion and all of his usual crew.
Uh-huh.
They took... they did a modernized version of Much Ado About Nothing, and they literally went and filmed it at Joss's house for 2 weeks in the summer.
Like,
it's low level.
Yeah.
Black
and
white.
Seemed like it was. I mean, obviously, I was taken there as a with school, so it was a light enough Shakespeare play that it was allowed for
our
age.
There's not enough sex lies and deceit in that
exactly.
one.
Nobody.
That's one of his, like, if we just would have talked to everybody, we wouldn't have been in this situation.
And hijinks ensued.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. Something that's like lesser known.
Sure.
There's got to be.
Well, yeah, there's tons of his plays.
I know.
That can easily be translated into
have to
some.
Read them.
Yeah, that's Cliff Notes, people. Did we cover everything? I think we covered everything that I wanted to cover. Sons of Anarchy, watch it. Hamlet.
That was the interesting connection about taking something so old and trying to update it to modern.
Yeah, I know we're going to get done with this show and I'm going to be like, oh, I forgot to say that one thing. I know, but I know there's going to be that one thing that I was like, oh, I forgot to talk about that one part.
That's what I meant to say.
Anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, that's, I think it's an interesting thing of thought.
And I mean, it's not easy to do, but it's easier to do than sitting around and thinking up of your own shit.
Right, so from scratch?
Right. like, or taking does it give
you it goes right along with reading a book, reading scripts, reading, does it give you an idea to does it
motivate spark you to do something? The interview with Kurt Sutter and Katie Segal is somewhere on the Smodcast Network. Find it. I believe it was Smodcast, or it might have been Kevin Smith's other podcast, Plus One. But find it and listen to it, because he talks about the sort of the conception of how he came up with this idea, and it's.
Do you think did he pitch that in the room? Did he actually say?
Yeah,
like a Hamlet based.
I don't remember.
Is that the log line? Really?
I don't remember the exact verbatim story, but from what I do remember, it was somebody had talked to him about doing a biker, something with bikers. And he, I think, passed the first time around. And then somewhere, somehow, he made the connection of taking Hamlet and putting it in the biker world. So he went back to them and he's like, yeah, I'll do the biker thing, but I want to do Hamlet in a biker world. And they love the idea, and thus...
Okay. I just wanted to know if it was pitched that, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially, like, before... By the time they went to FX with it and right. they were pitching the show, it was Hamlet in a biker
world. Which is another amazing thing. This is an HBO show, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It should be.
They get the language they get away with.
No, that's pretty awesome that they were able to make it happen on FX.
Cock got on there the other day, and they weren't talking about chickens.
They just paid for that one. That's like $1,000 fine.
Just write the FCC. Like, yeah. This is happening. Yeah. Here's the check.
Yeah. No, it's a shame. I think they probably would have made it more brutal if they did HBO.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with what Boardwalk Empire gets away with.
Man. Seriously.
This show, I think, is actually more violent than Boardwalk Empire.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Because Boardwalk Empire is in the 30s, and 20s and 30s, and this is in now with Uzis. So, well, it should be.
Yeah, but back then it was the Wild Wild West.
It was, but they...
Boardwalk Empire kills like one person a season. These guys kill one person a show.
Oh, I was going to say, no, not one person. Absolutely not. The red shirts get killed every show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
the low-level guys.
You're driving the delivery truck. You're getting shot. That's the red shirt in Boardwalk Empire.
There's always, whenever a new season starts and there's a couple of guys that show up and they're at the table, I'm like, oh, you're a red
shirt.
Yeah,
you're gone.
You're dead.
Gone. So predictable.
Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. Well, that is our show for this week. So thanks for tuning in. And
sorry it's late.
Yeah, sorry it's late. And we will be back next week. So I'm Manny.
I'm Cheryl.
Put some cheese on that cracker.
Peace out.